Hello, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Today's passage is Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to Mark chapter 9, verses 1. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Amen. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" We finally see the disciples realizing that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. Jesus begins to plainly tell them of the many things the Son of Man, his favorite self-title, must suffer and go through. This was unimaginable in the eyes of the disciples. To them, the Messiah was a victory. To hear of the suffering servant in light of the victor was not even in the same realm of thinking. When Peter rebuked Jesus, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." It's pretty harsh, especially to our modern day ears, but Jesus is highlighting here that the suffering of Jesus is central to his mission in the gospel, and he won't allow Satan to distort that at all. Jesus then famously calls for anyone who comes after him to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. "Who do you say that I am?" The disciples thought they knew him to be Christ, but their lack of understanding was revealed. Jesus tells us that living it out, taking up the cross, and following him is the true indicator of us knowing that Jesus is Messiah. Costliness is often associated as a negative thing, but I want to redefine it as something beautiful. Of course, costliness, well, costs us something. But if the payoff is worth it, then the cost doesn't seem so costly anymore. For example, when a baby is born, the parents need to die to themselves. Their sleep, their social life, their schedule, everything that they do is completely revolving around the baby. They have to sacrifice so much of the comforts and norms of life to raise a child. Now, I'm not a mom quite yet, but my mom friends all tell me how difficult being a parent can be. Yet, they all say how worth it is. They don't say it after they grow up and are finally able to pay them back as adults, but it's in the small moments when their baby clings onto them or smiles, where all of a sudden, all of the costs of parenthood become beautiful and worth it. Every once in a while, I feel the burden of the cross become too heavy for me to bear. A couple years ago, I had a span of 8 months where I struggled severely with isolation and loneliness in my second year serving in missions in Asia. I knew scripture said that those who lose their lives for the gospel's sake will find it, but it just seemed impossible to live out because I felt like I was losing my life, at least in the eyes of the world. I felt like my peers were advancing in life without me, advancing in their careers, developing closer in their friendships, getting married and going on honeymoons, buying houses and upgrading on the finer things in life. Meanwhile, I knew I was serving God and was where He wanted me to be,
but I felt like I was giving up so much to do missions in Singapore. Finances, relationships, closeness to family, the list goes on. I felt left behind and unseen by God. Was this worth it? I kept praying to God, asking why I couldn't have a, quote, a more normal life, like most of my peers. But just like how the simple smile of the child melted the parents' hearts, I felt the gaze of my Savior upon me. His gaze filled me with life, and all of a sudden, the weight of the cross became light. I realized it was light because Jesus was bearing it for me. He bore it for me on the cross when he died for me, taking on all of my sins and transgressions. Because the object of my love, Jesus, was greater than the cost became beautiful to me and was not a cost anymore. I was wrecked and moved to repentance. Of course, Lord, I will follow you. In light of everything you've done, my costs are nothing, and I will give it all to you. I realized that losing your life does not mean having good self-control and a decent sense on when to be, you know, metaphorically withholding from dessert. What losing your life really means is dying to my self-centeredness, my own desires, my own plans, and my own control. It's about reorienting my life around the centrality of Jesus. My cross was heavy because I was making it all about me. When we follow Jesus and are willing to sacrifice and obey him at all costs, that's when we find our true life. It's a daily decision. Jesus asks us every day, "Who do you say that I am?" I know that if I truly believe that he is, in fact, Christ, the Messiah, then I will answer him not just in word or in my lips, but in my actions, in my obedience, and in my surrender. It is ironic that we find our life when we lose it. It can be painful, but in light of Jesus and everything he has done for us, it is a privilege to be able to carry the cross for his name's sake. Let's just ask God today to help us surrender to him. What ways are we living to advance ourselves in this world? And what can we surrender today to lose our lives for his name's sake and the sake of the gospel? Let's pray. God, you say, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul?" Who are we, God, that you are mindful of us, that you value our souls more than the things of this world? I thank you for your word today, God, that just reminds us that following you in light of everything you have done, Jesus, is the best decision we can ever make. God, we try to find so much of our purpose in this world. We find so much of our identity by our success, our relationships, our reputation. But we pray, God, that today that you would reorient our hearts to have our lives center around you, Jesus. And that you would help us, Lord, to carry our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.